Our Father, we come to hear your word once again, because we know that there's nothing else that can guide us or give us a light but your word. And we pray that the light of your word will shine on our path, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will be with us, and that we'll be edified and built up, and that you'll help us to understand who we are as Christians and how we should be as Christians, and that when we leave you, we will leave you as your servants. I pray that you will help us to put away all the distracting and distressing things that might have happened to us today. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to put it aside for these few moments and give us your grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, we're in Romans chapter 8. That's where we are, called Who is in Control? That's basically what we're going to talk about. Who is in control? And what we need to understand is that Christians are a controlled people. We need to understand that, and we need to understand it correctly. Christians are controlled people. People often talk about Christians being brainwashed, or sometimes Christians know that there are people of cults and sects who are brainwashed. And we know that sometimes people go to universities, and there they are brainwashed by certain lecturers into atheism or whatever. But there's a difference between being brainwashed and being controlled inwardly in the inner self. And we Christians are a controlled people, controlled in the inner self, and that is what we're going to talk about. So let me read to you from Romans chapter 8, and we read from verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. And those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. We're going to talk for a moment about this idea of being weakened by the flesh. What the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man. Now, what we've got to remember is that all through history, with every single human being that's ever been born, what God has required from every human being is righteousness. But no human being has ever produced righteousness, because we can't do that anymore. We're now under the power of the fall. But God still requires righteousness from every human being. But human beings cannot produce righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, we can try and describe it with all kinds of various moral philosophies and things like that, but God has given it to us in 10 simple rules called the 10 commandments, which describes what it means to be righteous before him. And those 10 commandments are an illustration of what it means to live a righteous life. And we call it the law. The Old Testament people call that the law. Now, those 10 commandments were a summary of all that was written in the books of the law, the first 5 books of Moses, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, all that was written in the book of Exodus, all that's written in Leviticus, all that's written in Numbers, all that was written in Deuteronomy. All of that is summed up in these 10 commandments. And God says, this is how I require you to live. The problem is, we're not living like that. So the Apostle Paul, when he writes Romans, says, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his son. In other words, if people lived in those ancient early days, like the ancient Israelites, and some ancient Israelite father got up one morning and said, well, today I'm going to be a righteous man, he'll discover by the end of the day that no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't be righteous. You know, he could be as nice as he would like, but he couldn't be righteous. He never got everything right. He said this that was wrong, or he fell over a toy that his child left lying around, and he lost his rag, and the sheep went astray and he'd go looking for them. The world is not a perfect place, and we are not righteous people. So we cannot be righteous. So even though the law tells us we've got to be righteous, and even though God tells us we've got to be righteous, we are powerless. We are powerless. We do not have the inner power to be righteous. We haven't got that inside thing that makes us righteous. We're not like that. So the inner side of us is weakened because our natures are weakened by sin. Do you see? Because we are sinful people, the Ten Commandments, which are holy commandments from God, do not find a connecting point with us. So here we are, sinful people with sinful natures. We know that we've got to be righteous, but when we come up against the commands of righteousness, we can't do it. There's no connection between us and the righteous commands of God. There's no connecting point. You see, so for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. The law was weakened. It didn't have the power to make us righteous. The law could say to us, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. That's what the law could say, but it couldn't make us do that. You see? The law could say to us, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The law could say that to us, but it couldn't make us do that. The law could say that we should remember the Sabbath day, but it couldn't make us want to do that. So the law was weakened by what? By the sinful nature, that nature inside of us that was affected by the fall and by sin, so that as sinful people, we cannot keep the law of God. And so it says, he condemned sin in sinful man. So this is what God has done. Sinful man is condemned. He cannot keep the law. Human beings are not righteous people. They don't have any claim on heaven. They don't have any claim on God. They are by heart rebels against God. But what did God do? What did God do to overcome that problem? Well, it says this. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, the law was powerless to do it, but God did it. God said, I know that my law, I know that my Ten Commandments can't reach you because you are weak in your deepest nature, but I will do it. I will reach you, and I will make you want to do it, and I will give you the grace and the strength to do it. How? How is he going to do that? It says this, he did it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. How did God deal with the problem of human sinfulness? He dealt with the problem by sending into the world a baby. You would think he would send into the world a king who would come marching on a horse with a great army to take over the Romans and banish them and establish the whole kingdom of Israel again. But no, he didn't do that. You think he'd send a great prince, but no, he didn't do that. Of course, we know that in another sense, the Lord Jesus Christ was a king and he was a prince. We know that. But what God did as far as the world was concerned was he sent into our world a baby. And this baby that was born of the Virgin and lay in the manger, this baby was going to be the answer to the problem of why we can't keep God's laws. And why we are not a holy people. And why we do the things we do. And why we are a sinful human race. He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. He didn't send his own son as a sinful man, because Jesus was not sinful. But in the likeness of sinful man. He looked like us. You see? If you met Jesus in the streets of any of the towns of Palestine at that time, or Jerusalem, or wherever you were, you wouldn't see in him anything kingly. He would just be a normal Eastern man. He was just an ordinary person. And yet in him, he had the power to do something that no one else can do, and that was to pay the price for our own lack of ability to meet the demands of Almighty God. So God did it by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful man. So he looked like any man who was a sinful man. Jesus looked like them. He had eyes like them and hair, and he had probably a beard, and he wore a robe like them, and he walked with them and he talked to them. But we know, because of the Gospels, that inside Jesus was completely different to them. But he was in the likeness of sinful man. And he was in the likeness of a sinful man so that he could be a sin offering. Now, why is that important for Paul to write that down like that? Well, you will remember that if you were Jewish in those ancient days, in the days when the Jewish people were walking through the wilderness, in the days of when they had to carry the ark on their shoulders, or in the days when they built the temple, if Jewish people wanted to approach God, they had to do so through a sacrifice. Why is that? Because the wages of sin is death. So something or somebody had to die. So somebody had to absorb the guilt of sin, so that the person who wanted to come to God could come to him. So God arranged that a lamb had to die. Something as innocent as a lamb had to die. And so when people wanted to approach God, they brought a sin offering to God. And so on the great day of Passover, once a year, when the whole of the nation came together to celebrate the Passover feast, there was that great event when the Passover lamb was killed. It was the best lamb that could be found, no blemish on it at all. And that lamb died for the sins of the people. And what Paul is saying here is that God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful man. He came as a human being who looked like other human beings, so that he could be a sin offering. He could be a sin offering. So that we know that the Passover lamb was pointing all the time to the great true lamb who would come from heaven. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So in other words, what Paul is saying is this. Now, for those of us who are Christians, we have turned to Christ, who was God's Lamb who died. He was God's sin offering. And we know that he rose from the dead. And we know that he ascended to heaven. And we know that he sent the Holy Spirit. And we know that when we embrace Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And so now we have the Holy Spirit within us. And so now the righteous requirements of the law, all these righteous things that the law demands, you shall love the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, you shall keep the Sabbath day, you shall honor your father and mother, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, all those things that the law commands. All of those things might be fully met in us. Now we can do them. We can keep those commands. We're not perfect. We still make our mistakes. And even though we don't do the actual bad things as badly as stated on paper, sometimes in our hearts we still kill and murder and hurt and maim people, but because we are still sinners. But provision has been made for our sins by the Lamb that was slain for us. And we do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So let me pause here for a moment to make this point. Before you become a Christian, whether you know it or not, or whether you believe it or not, or whether it's real to you or not, or whether you're quite a good person and you don't actually think that you fall into that category or not, you are controlled by the sinful nature. That is why you get so many people today who are such nice people to know, but you don't believe in Jesus. The sinful nature will take a different form with different people. For some people, the sinful nature will take the obvious forms of doing very bad things. But for other people, the sinful nature will allow you to go to church and sing the hymns and say all the great statements and even listen to the preacher. But when the preacher says, will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, in your heart you will say, well, I don't need to do that because I'm not so bad. And so people will often say after a church service, or if you talk to them while you're having coffee after a church service, are you a Christian? Well, I've always been a Christian. They haven't got the point, you see, because they are controlled by the sinful nature. And the sinful nature deludes them into thinking that their own goodness is enough. And they haven't seen the point that they need this lamb that was slain. They need the sin offering. They need that. But they don't think they need it. Because they think that because they've been fairly good and decent all their lives, that they're okay and they'll be all right on that great day of judgment. But on the judgment day, your good deeds will be weighed against your bad deeds. And most people think like that in some way or another. You put your good deeds on one side, your bad deeds on the other, and they've got the idea of what good deeds are and bad deeds aren't. And if the scale weighs in your favor, you get into paradise. And many people in our churches think like that unconsciously. They haven't thought it out. They just think like that unconsciously. Why do they think like that? They think like that because they are controlled by the old nature, the sinful nature, the nature with which they were born. And it's that nature that keeps people out of heaven. It's that nature that's got to be changed, which is why Jesus said, we've got to be born again. We need a new nature. We're all controlled people. You're either controlled by the sinful nature or you are controlled by the new nature. But we are controlled. Often you will hear people when they're trying to comfort other people in a time of trouble saying to them, don't worry, God will be with you. Huh? Often you hear that or something similar to that. But here's the thing. God is with everybody. Even the most wicked people, God is with them. But God is not with them in the same way that he is with those who believe in him. With those who believe in him, God is with them as their father. God is with them as their comforter. God is with them as the one who's going to take them to live with him forever. But the wicked person, the presence of God with them, even though they don't feel it or believe it, must be a terrifying thing. Because God is with them to watch them. God is with them to record what they're doing. God is with them to witness all of their evil. God is with them to witness their refusal to bow the knee and humble themselves before his word. So God is with them so that on that last day, all these things will be produced before them to show them how righteous God is when he condemns them. And now our natures have been changed. We are no longer those people who thought that we were okay. No, we are now controlled by the nature that has been given to us when we were Christians. We are controlled according to the Spirit, it says in verse 4, at the end of verse 4. We do not live according to the sinful nature, but we live according to the Spirit. And those are the two ways in which people live today. We either live according to the sinful nature, or we live according to the Spirit. It's the sinful nature that makes you shout. It's the sinful nature that makes you lose your temper. It's the sinful nature that makes you argue. It's the sinful nature that makes you swear and curse. It's the sinful nature that makes you do even worse things. It's the Spirit in you, the new nature, that makes you restrain yourself, makes you apologize. And when you do make mistakes, because you will, because you're still a sinner, as we'll see, you will immediately apologize and repent before God, because you're a new creature and you realize that you cannot face God in the same way that a person who is not a Christian faces God. And so you repent and you confess to God. The sinful nature is pushed aside and the new nature leads you on day by day. Look at verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And the mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Now I want you to look at these, because the contrasts are very clear here. So look at these verses carefully. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. In other words, those who live according to the sinful nature, who walk according to that nature, who wake up in the morning and go to bed with that sinful nature inside of them, they live with their minds on all the worldly things. They live obsessed by what the world values, and their values are everything that the world values. That's what they live with. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, have their minds set, fixed. Their minds are fixated on what the Spirit desires. They say to themselves, how can I be a Christian in this situation? How can I be a Christian with this decision I've got to make? What does it mean to be a Christian in this particular situation I find myself in now? That's how they think. They think all the time. Their minds are falling back all the time on the fact that they are accompanied by the Holy Spirit throughout of life. And they've got to glorify Christ. So they think differently. And so their minds are set on what the Spirit desires. So they're saying to themselves, I'm not saying they do it like this literally. I don't anyway. And I'm sure that you don't. But in principle, I'm thinking to myself all the time, what would the Spirit like me to do here? What would please Jesus in this situation? What should I do in this situation that would bring glory to God? That is the difference between the man who is a Christian and the man or the woman who is not a Christian. So it says the mind, in verse 6, the mind of sinful man is death. In other words, the reason why the sinful man, or the sinner, or the unrepentant person thinks the way he or she does is because they are filled with spiritual death. That is why. And they will end up in spiritual death. But the mind that is controlled, or the heart that is controlled, the inner part of us that is controlled by the Holy Spirit, is life and peace. There's purpose, there's a sense of purpose in living. There's a sense of a new reality, of something new to come. There's a sense of knowing why I'm here when you have the Spirit within you. Now, when you don't have the Spirit within you, you wake up every morning saying, oh, what can I do today? What's going to do? Everything's going to be the same today. When you wake up with the Holy Spirit, you say, who knows what today will bring and what opportunity will be given to me today. And the mind, the soul, the inner person controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So, says the Apostle Paul, the sinful mind is hostile toward God. So you can go to any person who's not a Christian and begin to try to talk to them about God or Christ, and they will immediately begin to oppose you. We don't talk about those things. I've got my views. I don't want you to talk to me about that. And they get mad with you. They don't even allow you the privilege of a decent conversation. They just get mad with you immediately and push you aside. Why is that? It's not because they're hostile toward you. I mean, they are in your experience, but their hostility is rooted in their hostility toward God. Anything that speaks of the God of the Bible, anything that speaks of Christ, anything that speaks of the God who is going to call them to account is not acceptable to them. They don't want that kind of God. They'll accept another kind of God. You can bring the weirdest religions into their company, and they'll say, ooh, and oh, and how interesting, and all the rest of it. But bring Christ, And we don't want to actually talk about that now, because that will cause problems. Of course it will cause problems. Why is that? Because what Christ has got to say is in direct contradiction to everything that the world thinks. And that is where we are. We are with Christ. So we are in direct contradiction to what the world thinks. So Paul says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. And he says, it does not submit to God's law. And why not? Because it cannot do so, he says. It cannot. Cannot do so. It's got no inner strength to do so. It's no good saying to your little toddler of 12 months who's just learned to walk, go and pick up that heavy chair over there and move it for me. The little guy or girl can't do that. They don't have the strength to do that. And we, spiritually speaking, without Christ, have got no strength to submit to the law of God. And that is why Paul says in verse 8, he says, those who are controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Can you see that? So, you know, you can be the nicest person to know in your neighborhood and the most generous person and the kindest person. But if you have rejected Christ as the way to God, you do not please God. You may please your neighbors and you may please the society and you may please the civic society and you may please the charities that you get involved with and you may please the NGOs. But if you reject Christ, you do not please God. And the mind that is hostile to God cannot please God. The mind controlled by the sinful nature cannot. It hasn't got the strength to please God. Because to please God, Christ has got to be central. And if he's not central, there's nothing you can do about it. You are lost. And so all of us are controlled by one thing or the other. We are all controlled either by the flesh or the mind without God, the hostile mind, or we are controlled by the spirit, the mind that is set on God and the mind that loves Christ. And the thing that makes the difference, of course, is the new birth. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these things that we read about in your word, that we don't normally think about, that we wouldn't understand if it wasn't in your word in the first place. But you, in your kind graciousness to us, caused them to be written down so that we could come across them and read them and listen to teaching about them and ask questions about them so that we could be forgiven and saved and have minds that do please God. So we pray that you will be with us and help us to be the kind of people we ought to be and to be controlled not by the mind of flesh, but by the mind of the Spirit. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.